ambiente que já esperando esse artigo e chegar no chão.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good afternoon, Honourable Members. My name is Howard Lewalski from Justice Project South Africa. Just to give you a quick background, Justice Project South Africa is a non-profit organisation that was primarily established to deal with and represent the, and protect the rights of motorists. We deal primarily with road traffic law and road traffic law enforcement, and we were formed in 2008. Against the backdrop of both mounting abuses in road traffic law enforcement and alarming levels of corruption. And I think we need to bear that in mind in whatever we actually do when it comes to the enforcement of the road traffic legislation. So then we play what we believe to be a pivotal role in educating our members and members of the public alike and getting rid of the misinformation that's spread around various circles, especially when it comes to road traffic law. People are often told, vote for the summons, because it's not such time that summons are said to you, it means nothing. And unfortunately, that kind of thinking has been inculcated in our South African mentality from a long, 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 long time ago. Now, one of our core functions is to strive towards proper and effective and ethical traffic law enforcement, which is free of corruption by acting as watchdog over authorities who unfortunately often abuse their powers or in fact do not follow the procedures as they are supposed to. And to bring about an advancement of justice for the furtherment of everybody to have a positive impact on those safety. Because ultimately, so we can talk about road traffic legislation, let's talk about road safety, let's not talk about anything else. The introduction of a quickie merit system in South Africa, as you all know, and I'm sorry to sound like I'm lecturing you, I don't mean to, but it's been suggested in the 1950s. This legislation is more than decades overdue. We are sitting in a terrible situation. People are dying on our roads and over us. And it's very sad to say that the ARTA Act is now 18 years old and is as such old enough to both drink and drive, which is something that unfortunately a lot of people tend to do on others. We have been one of the most vocal proponents of the introduction of a whiskey system, and we've been doing it for ages now, and speaking about driver remedial programs, etc. But disposing of due process and ignoring and violating the Constitution cannot be regarded as the right way to go. The repeal of Section 21 of the ARTA Act, this is with respect to the warrant of execution. I have to completely disagree with my colleagues who presented earlier, saying this is not a good idea to repeal this, this is the only seat that we have. It was unconstitutional to start with. It should never have been in the ARTA Act to start with. And it is wonderful news that it has been repealed. This idea of immobilizing people's motor vehicles without actually defining that. Immobilizing to me might mean going into your motor car, lifting up the bonnet and ripping out your battery and all of the leads out of your vehicle. We need to be very, very, very careful when we come up with loose legislation. And unfortunately, we can say without a shadow of a doubt that with respect to the ARTA Amendment Bill, that's not the only positive that we can see in what's proposed, because it still appears to be the autocratic adjudication of road traffic offences act as opposed to administrative adjudication. What we don't welcome in the bill is that despite having had more than 2 years, and it's in fact only 3 years now since publishing the ARTA Amendment Bill for public comment, to do a proper job of addressing the unconstitutional issues and problematic issues that exist in the Act. All may be talking about making money out of selling rights, we are never, ever going to stop what this carnage situation that we have on our rivers. And it can never be about revenues. It can never be about making money. The electronic service, though, the proposed definition of the electronic service, quite frankly, is nonsensical. It is blindly ignores each and every fundamental principle of the law insofar as it relates to the service of legal documents. It also presumes that all license drivers and vehicle owners are financially privileged enough to, and technically competent enough, to actually own a smartphone, to have internet access, to live in an area that you can actually get a cell phone signal, and a low internet access. Are we turning around and saying, you know what, traffic offences are committed by the bourgeois society, like we said in the ethos? Hopefully not, Simons. Electronic service, as is contemplated in this act, will also undoubtedly provide an unintended consequence of any proportion gap. It's going to give internet scammers a huge additional opportunity to rip people off. And they do this kind of thing all the time. It's not difficult for people to get caught. Cybercrime is a very real problem in South Africa. It's not being tackled directly. And unfortunately, people are very uneducated on cybercrime, just like they are on age old. You go and tell people, I'm presenting on our service app. And they say, no. Because unfortunately, our South African public has not been educated on this. The sharing from the service will also have a knock-on effect, we submit, on the shape of the law in general in South Africa. Please let's not concentrate the answer as in isolation of other law that exists in South Africa. We have the National Credit Act, which under Section 129 of that Act requires lending institutions to send final demands to people via registered letter. The second that you implement this Act, it has a knock-on effect. It can be interpreted as saying this is national legislation. If service by X, SMS is good enough, well then, unscrupulous lenders are going to start taking people and start putting their houses on auction and selling them for 1/20th of the value of those houses, and we're going to be straight back to where we were before the National Credit Act came into place. We need to not be reckless. Why is proper service important? Well, under the Arthur Act, each and every single process in the Act is reliant wholly and solely upon service and a service of documents. Without those documents being served, none of the processes under the Arthur Act can take place. Because if you do not serve an infringement notice, it does not exist. Therefore, my chance of coming into contact with the Arthur Act is zero. Legal service of documents is regulated by the Magistrates Court Act, the Superior Court Act, the Uniform Court Rules of the Supreme Court Practice, the Criminal almost every instance with religious orders on an issued and enforcement order against an accused person over the cost, by financial use, it is quite evident that neither the infringement notice nor the certificate was suitable in the case. And that is evidence by the South African Post Office's own secure mail, not registered mail, secure mail, which we maintain is not registered mail or not the regular registered data service. That patent service is incorporated into the agency's own website, but yet we rely on presumption of service. But then we have this wonderful thing called the presumption of guilt. Nobody in the Hart Act does say that the infringer shall be regarded as being guilty until that proved himself innocent. Sorry, it's such a huge conflict with the Constitution, which says, Section 35, 3H of the Bill of Rights under the Constitution says that every accused person has the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. The Otter Act holds the exact opposite, and none of the processes or sanctions after an infringement notice can proceed unless you actually regard that person as being guilty until they prove themselves innocent. Now that just is completely unconstitutional. But even Regulation 257F of the National Road Traffic Regulations holds that if a warrant of arrest has been issued against a person who has failed to appear in court and therefore is in contempt of court, on a Section 56 written notice or Section 54 summons issued in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, even if it withholds that person's licenses. Now, sorry, but I have to disagree with one of my colleagues who say documents don't matter. They are, they do matter. They absolutely do matter. How can you turn around and say that a document that says, Mr. Policeman, Mr. Traffic Officer, I hereby order you to go to that House of Parliament in Bosque and arrest him for being in contempt of my court and bring him before me, gives you the authority to say that you conducted a trial in my absentia, found me guilty in my absentia, and now refusing me a document for which I am paid and I owe absolutely no licensing fees or penalties on. It's unconstitutional. And it would appear to me and to my colleagues that the Department of Transport is particularly fond of violating the Constitution. Where in the Constitution does it say you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent? This is not false. The Hart Act appears to get around this and the strict constitutional provision of guilt by providing the so-called elective option once government service has occurred. You have the opportunity to nominate the driver or the person in control of that vehicle within 52 days of service. If you do not nominate that person within 52 days of service of that infringement notice, you may no longer do so. So therefore, you will have to admit guilt or stand trial on behalf of another person who committed an offence or an infringement. Now, I'm sure that there are lots of people who say that's one way. I can tell you that last year, two British MPs were put in jail for that. Because the MP nominated his wife as the driver because he had to meet in there and work on his driving license already. He's now serving 2 years ago. And that is harsh. Making representation within 32 days of the courtesy letter, obviously the courtesy letter follows on from the infringement notice, then you can't have representation anymore. Or they tend to be filed in court, which, as you will see in our little submission, Adrian Chambers is that all of these options are wholly dependent on actions being taken by the accused. And please let's understand that, because people who have had background in criminal law prosecution will understand this. Since when have you heard of a suspected murderer getting sent a letter by registered mail or email or text saying, report to the police station, and if you don't report to the police station, you might be guilty? How can we throw traffic law enforcement into that kind of disarray just because we allege that the courts are overheard? And on that score, how disingenuous is it of anybody to summon 500 people to court, as two presenters said, the other said, on a single day, knowing the only 20 are going to finish up? In other words, you're going to have a magistrate issue 480 warrants of arrest for those people. Why don't we just go and meet those people when we get those warrants of arrest? I'll never understand this. Instead, what we do, like everything in Ecclesiastes on the 17th of July, or August, sorry, 17th of August, there's a couple of robots on the R21 north and south, both directions, for 2.5 hours. And it managed to arrest 16 people against whom warrants had been issued. If you actually sit and think about that, what is the cost of the economy? That is a main route to the O.L. Tambo airport. Why don't we do things properly? Because this is actually what it all comes down to, what it all boils down to, not doing things properly. The issue of an enforcement order, by the way, as you know, has the effect of blocking the issue of all of the following documents: a person's driving license, a professional driving permit, and a vehicle license. It also has the effect of applying the points to merit system once the points to merit system becomes to that infringement, once the points to merit system is in place. All of this happens in the complete absence of any trial and any evidence being presented that the accused is actually guilty of the offense. We sanction him, as the word used earlier on, is we punish him. Please, let's not talk about having a corrective effect. It does not have a corrective effect. It does not have a reasonable effect. A reasonable effect would be to warn him that either when he reaches 60 merit, we should say, here is a traffic school, go and learn how to drive safely so that you don't incur these things. But instead, what happens? We've had instances on roads like Kailomi Main Road, which goes between Crowthorne and Monte Cassino area. The Japanese changes that season are one front. It goes up and down like a yoga. One week it's 80, next week it's 60. It's just depending on the budget. And they have photographs. If a person were to drive 80 kilometers an hour in a 60K load for a period of 1 month, it would have the effect of suspending that person's driving license for 21 years if they drove to and from work each and every day. These are the kind of things we need to actively draw against. Section 20. 7 of the Armed Act has been infringed against whom an enforcement order has been served. They comply with this by paying it to the local registering authority or to the Crime Analysis Testing Center. He may then, instead of doing that, advise the very person who issued the enforcement order against him to have it revoked, to the satisfaction of the very person who issued it. That's not a review process. Not even by a long shot. That's unconstitutional, and you can't have the same person being judged through an execution of these American servants. The administrative nature of the OSA Act seeks to replace courts, except where the accused person elects to be fined. Local representations officers, okay, get act as magistrates, and the minimum requirements for them for their Saudis were $43.44 million rand to just alien some money. Can you forgive people for saying that this looks really like a money making picture? In reality, it is true that the agency is reliant on people who do not take action within the first 30 days. And this comes in an apportionment of penalties under the RSA, where if a person pays within 30 days, if that penalty is 750 rand, the issuing authority gets 135 rand. If they don't, then the agency issues a 30-day letter, the issuing authority still gets 125 rand, the agency gets 185 rand. If a person still doesn't pay and goes to an enforcement order, the issuing authority gets 125 rand and the agency gets 245 rand. This cannot be viewed as being independent. The National Prosecuting Authority and the courts are not funded this way. The agency itself performs these diametrically opposed functions in terms of the RSA. It acts as a gatekeeper for issuing authorities, it acts as an issuer of courtesy letters and enforcement orders, and it acts as an anything but independent tribunal between a few persons, the issuing authorities, and itself. How can an agency and its employees be regarded as being independent when 78% of its revenues come from fees and the portion of penalties and fines? It's in direct conflict of interest. If we have a look at the proposed insertion of Section 3, Section 52 Act, what does this do to halt the non-compliance of the issuing authorities? It says, the penalty referred to in Subsection 1 may be withheld by the authority where there is evidence of non-compliance with this Act until such time that the Act is compliant with to the satisfaction of the authority. Well, in direct translation, that means when the issuing authority starts to act lawfully again, it's entitled to the monies that the agency gets. But until that time, the agency is allowed to profit unlawful monies. This does nothing. The RSA Act means a proper schedule of offences and penalties to deal with the kinds of actions that we have seen coming out of people like the Johannesburg Metro Police Department. You just find every single effort and engagement from us decided for 30 months to continue sending our content prison notices by ordinary mail. And that was only opted after we brought a complaint to the public perceiver. Why? Because we've got a little assistance from the agency and the RCMC and the Department of Transport at the time. It only really got halted in 2012 because all of a sudden the Minister of Transport started getting asked uncomfortable questions in Parliament. Now, this kind of behavior must be contemplated upfront. The chap from Tsushima said, perhaps I can explain why it is the Joburg Metro issues 500,000 traffic fines a month, and Tsushima Metro only issues 50,000. Well, it's very simple. The Joburg Metro has turned this into a fine-tuned money-making machine, and it is not the only one in South Africa. The Ubuntu municipality up in the UK has done similar, where I think it's 46% of its entire municipal budget is derived from traffic fines. Traffic fines mean that people don't pay according to everybody. People don't have a traffic fine. So how is it that the Ubuntu municipality manages to keep its head above water then? Less than 12% of traffic law enforcement in the current half of the experiment. Okay, and that's what this is. It's an experiment. If we not talk about fines, the RCRA has denied that the RSA Act is in pilots. The RSA Act is not in pilots, it's not a case. It is an is inconsistent in the own concept that we see under the order. We have excuses in here that we didn't send out enforcement orders and first because we didn't have the money to pay the bus. However, we missed that actually come out. If you have a look at the use of enforcement orders that have gone through the roof, and this is an effective gun against people's heads. But this inconsistency comes in the outcomes of representations that are put to the RCIA as well. Because based on the legitimate identical arguments, you get half of them coming back successful, and I'm talking about the one alleged infringer, half coming back successful, half coming back unsuccessful on a materially identical argument. That cannot be regarded as consistency, it would never be allowed in our court of patent. Then we have an informal review process that was implemented by the registrar. And sometimes those results come back as the ones that were unsuccessful are not successful. Okay? And more recently, one didn't come back as unsuccessful. Whether that's used, then the next key find important is that they wish to exercise their right to review. The registrar sometimes says, this constitutes people abusing or manipulating the system because they are dissatisfied with the outcome of their representation. You have an unalienable right to find in court. That's a principle. That's no manipulation. If you are unhappy with the result, you may go for review. Why do we think that so many matters go to the Supreme Court, go to the Constitutional Court, etc., etc.? Is that just the right for certain individuals to have access to the public purse? Or is that a right of every person in this country? The issuing of enforcement orders has played a significant role in increasing the monies that are coming into the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, which is primarily making as an absolute bomb. And if you have a look at the direct correlations between the monies coming in and the enforcement orders issued, as I said earlier on, enforcement orders force people to say that if they broke motion, because they do have motions. Because if you make application for the revocation of the enforcement order, it stays in place. If your application is unsuccessful, then you institute charge review and you wait 3-4 years for that to happen and you spend over $1 million in a charge review. That process is unconstitutional. It really, really needs to be fixed. Incidentally, on that side, it's actually quite interesting that if you have a look at the financials of the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, you'll notice that it doesn't correspond with what the JMP is telling everybody. This financial year, the Joburg Metro Police Department has a traffic fines budget of 400 million rand. And it says that in previous years, it's received even more than that. These are in title papers. How then would it be that in 2010, the RTIA only got 10 million? In 2011, it only got 45 million. There's something wrong. And it appears that Treasury and the RTIA have sat back and let the JMPDC on the money. But not everything about the RTIA experiment is negative. The centralizing and the issue of administration of road traffic and punishment seems to have to act as a problem. The time limitation, limitations on their actual driver person in control of the vehicle is a problem, and these are constitutional problems. The inability of the owner to nominate the driver in the case of an offence is a problem. An offence is a criminal offence for which you have to be summoned to court. It is a problem. Because you're summoning the owner to court. Yet, you're not summoning the person who actually committed the criminal offence. It doesn't make any sense. The register, unfortunately, still grants too much power and then gets to review its own decisions. That can't be. The agency is not and can never be an independent tribunal unless it's completely separated from the profit-making side of the issue of traffic. The legalized avoidance of the poisoning merit system, which is built into the African regulations, of the Act, where a juristic entity may just pay the fine at 3 times the value, and in that way avoid nominating the driver. It can't be. If the poisoning merit system is intended to have an impact on road safety and the behaviour of drivers on our roads, we can't give anybody a chance to circumvent the poisoning merit system. This limited geographical rollout created an inequality before the law from the outset. I'm not sure whether the Honourable Members are aware of the fact that Section 57.6 of the Criminal Procedure Act says that any person who pays an admission of guilt fine on a Section 56 written notice or Section 54 summons, on doing so, the Parker Court must register a criminal record in the criminal record books for admission of guilt against that particular of that person. If you have a system that imposes no criminal record in Johannesburg and Swan, then it must be the same everywhere else in South Africa. Unless we are actually asserting that South Africa is, in fact, a federation of independent states. That was unconstitutional, but you shouldn't have been there. You can talk about piloting systems and all that kind of stuff. You can go and pilot systems on a trial basis without paying people's lives. The ARTA Act is also in conflict with other legislation, including the National Road Traffic Act. If you have a Schedule 3 of the ARTA regulations, you will notice that the offences carry 6 demerit points. Yet, under Section 55 of the National Road Traffic Act, any person who drives under the influence of alcohol, who is convicted of reckless or not negligent driving, is convicted of leaving the scene of a crash where a person has been injured or killed, is convicted for driving at a speed in excess of 30 kilometers an hour over the speed limit in an urban area and 40 kilometers an hour over the speed limit on a freeway or outside of an urban area, their driving license must be suspended for a minimum period of 6 months on first commission. That's what it says in the National Road Traffic Act. The ARTA Act is 60 demerit points. 60 demerit points is exactly half of the total threshold of demerit points, which is 12. At 12 demerit points, your driving license is still not suspended. On second conviction of the crimes that I just alluded to,
your time, so when we respond, I will deduct those 10 minutes from the presentation. Honorable members, Honorable Hedene, Honorable Mishina, Honorable Shibande, Honorable Mlauti, Honorable Mashonan, Honorable Kevun, followed by Honorable Rantaka, along those lines. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I have one series. As a presenter, starting with collecting a third of the position, I tell you which part of the position, which stops, okay? But if you be able to code the, you know, the all the other, you know, the issues addressed by the codes, it was be able to understand, because once we want to confuse people, we are afraid of the constitution. If you challenge, you know, where am I? Nice high game. I'll show you continue the constitution. But say, on the score, okay? That was what I thought. But what you say that, we always see people not saying the right thing, but saying that the continuation of the constitution. Yes.
Honorable,
thank you very much for the presentation and all the work that has gone into the research, and thank you for the contribution and the presentation. From page 7 of the written documents that I understood us, you referred to a panic private arrangement that's been entered into by RTIA with a few companies to give some sort of limited access in for these into the Synaptis and ECR system. If you could give us a bit more detail around that, I would appreciate it. Then, in the absence of the constant immobilization of vehicles as sort of a last resort, do you see anything else than the Criminal Procedures Act in an effort to replace that? What else do you see other than the Criminal Procedures Act as a last resort? Then, lastly, you refer to the necessity for ARCTA to have a proper shape of offences. How do you see this improving the functionality of ARCTA? Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Honorable
Shibani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chief Minister. Chairperson, you see, this is an asking question. So, and talk about maladministration and corruption. It's very equal. not only your recommendation, but also your recommendation in terms of the third page, you see you rejected everything that are to must take a look at the recommendation that are to exist in Chinese. Back to the discussion. Why do you say you acknowledge that this process is going to be 15 years ago? My wife, what is your proposal that I left in the next 90, what is the next 90 rejected? What is your proposal that is what I'm at? And the last minute is a question. The family is very, very interesting. Some people, they take us for granted, they told us people who are quite NGOs. The most of it was included in the progressive in the past, like legislation or actors in many countries as well. But now that people who think that we need to lose the opportunity of NGOs, but they need to have decided to come and mask the constitution as only to have a mask people. And I think that where is wrong in the constitution? So that we link exactly with your argument. You can have a better background, but if you don't have points, to me it's something difficult. You said you spoke about the perception framework of the constitution. You said this is quite different to the constitution. You didn't say this. Okay, fine. You see, I'll show you an example. Why do you have to be required? But now we're not using an institution. We're doing institutions. That is a sign of the national reason to this presentation of the day. So, to me, this presentation it doesn't be useful. Instead, it destroys. Tell us, if you talk about, for example, some of the members which are here, members of the department, if the corruption challenge that this one of the sons acts so that we can, because another thing is the case of Africa, our constitution allows us that if I am corrupt, take me to court. You don't assume that you let me see my father because I'm dead and then take up because of the fact of corrupt. And man and his regime. Then it's just an outcome of what is this.
Thank you very much, Honorable Melody.
The constitution, I don't understand.
generation of bacteria we established in the world. Now the government is coming with all avenues to try to catch up this rate of excess. And the other one is anthropy, which was not functioning well. They are coming to America in order to be implementable. We are touching the use of the electronic, touching everything, the emails and everything. But the research has said that more than 80 to 90% of the people have access to electronic. So I don't understand you, because you even have the business said that they are presuming that the quota are offered by them. That's the truth. Quota. There are so many summons a day in court which come there. Some of them don't be in attendance. Because they remember in court and what the court only with a final message. And it's not a specific court for subject. It's an exception from the subject in the matter of first and second and the economy. But in the rural areas, they use the land courts. So it's often passing the court. That's the truth. You can't say that maybe that presuming is true. It's the effect. I tell you, in terms of education, the discovery in the player and the rest, that you have a point. I think the next time the man who might the man that some of you will see maybe the majority of the higher quality which can be the people can adjudicate the treatment, not the same. And you, since you are worried about the fees working for the agency, the agency is not making money in order to pay themselves. They're making money as a way of punishing the type of offenders who are killing the people on the roads. And the people, if they don't want to make money for the agency, they will just make the state of offenders in prison. Then they will find the rules will be saying that then the state will be achieving the objective. So they can't achieve the objective. People will not just leave them to do as they wish. We must punish them and they must pay their justice. And that man must speculate and work against them until they become strange. So if you said they must use the money for the efficient because they want to be independent and impartial, where are we going to make the money? It's as good as you are sabotaging this platform and the action that you must not even fight. So we want you, Mr. Howard, to assist us. But your presentation is not assisting our country. You are bringing us back. Everything is wrong here. Maybe you are a man who goes to the French government. I don't know. That's why you attempted to say so, because we have a crisis of excess. We need your support, but in terms of unconstitutionality, because I don't impose anything here. They are saying, if you do this, we will do this. And a person drives a subway interest to that, it's an offense. And then if you choose to drive a subway interest to that, if you choose to cross the road, they don't want to do something about you because you might kill a boat by that age. So it can't be that the government wants to implement the laws and for the people who infringe the right others of the rules. People are dying, and you know the state of our most damage. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome to the presentation. I've been largely covered by progress, but on the issue raised by JPSA on a particular statement on corruption and other institutions, whether that is obvious. If it is obvious, we want to give any cases so that we can take the idea to have the responsibility to make sure that the department administrations are out here. So I won't go into details in that regard. On the issue of constitutionality, I think Honorable Sadler and Honorable have brought me to details in that regard. It was on page 24 of the article. It's clear that the JPSA is going to the Constitutional Court in terms of but not others. That is usually a given that the other acts with fake constitutional challenges. And when obstacles that others, in the situation with most specific effect as the legislator for correction. Then we come to the legislator. On the last paragraph, they say we urge the portfolio committee to intervene now. In so doing, address the possibility of a further wave of taxpayers' money, which will arise from the Department of Transport and its state owned corporation countries on the ASEA, attempting to defend the independent within court. So, Mr. Samovosi is going to court. That's what it is. We're not putting words into his mouth. Or not him as a person, let's not make talks to him as a person. JP that day is going to the constitutional court service in terms of it would have been proper not to put an X above somebody's neck when you are making a decision. Because that's what JP has said to me. They say if you go this way, you talk to your neck. That's the truth. It was in combat, obviously, it came with a good case study. I was listening to him and I was very interested on the British case study of the member of parliament who, because of being committed, they have to get his wife to charge him. We have to learn from such case studies. And if you learn from what other countries have gone through, and it was going to be very low-pressure in the successful country. But the language used on page 24, it's like giving ourselves the essence of so many meetings. We are just engaging on an academic exercise, but at the end, what we are doing is also going to be reviewed in a constitutional court. Unless what is said there means something else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Out of 100 people that got driver
but I value, and this comes out of the presentation, that if I recall your statement, the only section that you agree with is your section 31. Simply with the colleague before you who presented that, that's the only provision you would suggest to agree with. The rest of the amendment you don't agree with, and you have a lot of issues to say. I just want to find out from you, and you do take this is about what is legal services provisions and all that. Now, where is it that is recorded that electronic servicing of a document constitutes an illegal act? What's the authority of that? But the rest of other things you say, that I think we will deal with it as a committee. But as I can say to you sitting here today, the very last topic of papers is electronic. He said that they put an electronic to cost, and he said the other part is electronic. But very suddenly, not in a scooter bike, the world itself. They sell electronically newspapers, and it's about as well serving of documents. Why is it, when it comes to this piece of legislation, that a violation of the formal notice of email, actually email is being accepted by court as a form of the legal way of serving documents? I understand if you say somebody who doesn't have it, who doesn't have the email, or who doesn't have any gadget or equipment to receive that kind of communication. You would feel that situation not going to characterize as illegal or unconstitutional. You would say there's a document that will not serve it. There may be an effective word sent to the document, but not that it's characterized as unconstitutional. So what I fail to understand this dramatization of everything that is proposed or suggested as an act to be amended is then characterized as illegal. Why is it unconstitutional? It cannot be made because I think the pre-side of pre-Russian group and all things are very close of the thing that you are making a whole point within the unconstitutionality. But no case is made. I mean, earlier some of the documents you made a good point about the announcement today of the fourth and third disorders. But the relevance of that, insofar as the constitutionality, I don't see that. Because another good note is just the part of the constitution, which also in the context of this amendment, what is wrong if we go through this process and we agree that amongst what is contained currently in legislation, we add in other means of communication, of sending the information, i.e. the email or the text message. By the way, when I'm on the issue of the text message is also regarded as a form of communication. The number of other cases where text message exchange of messages is handled as part of the evidence of communication. So, why is this issue about unconstitutionality of what is going to be made in the law that is that language. You make the other point, which I
someone who actually violated the constitution by Madam Trump, no, that's not the right to marry anybody in terms of constitution. Make that an example. To make the point, or to clarify the point about why it's wrong to send other form of communication as well as communication. But I ask, why is it like that? That's why I'm saying some of the names is a dramatization of it. Where it is nothing, it's presented, it's almost searching for fault. Now I would say, in the conclusion of the document, you do say this, and I think my colleague also mentioned this one, that you would want this thing to go back to the legislature for them to make different information. Indeed, this piece of legislation is now in force. It's now up. This is why we have you to talk to us about what needs to be done. If I was to put a different question to you, sir, and say, you have done a lot of work in terms of rights, in terms of that process. What is it that you know you will become a constitutional in advance at all? What is it, what are the provisions? I think it's a legitimacy. Thank you. But I think the first 7 pages of presentation should rather answer the question. In this provision, I think we should amend this provision in the following ways. And then put it for us to consider that particular answer. In this section, this is how we should be putting it rather than doing this. But now that's not the approach. The approach, in my view, you are the one that has to say to maybe intend it, is to say, it's basically to throw it out the window, to throw the process out of the window, which is not helpful in the process of searching for answer. That's your expertise and experience in some of this thing. Should have been quite very, very good in our engagement. Only if you were to say, this is what we deserve to do. But, no, let me end this here by saying that I don't think that there is a case made for this presumption issue. Here, the case for me, the traffic officer stops you and tells you, Mr., you have violated the act by your act. And this is what you need as a driver of this motor. And therefore, this is against this particular law. Here is the provision that I say we are going to find. If you will find, you must choose. The pay is fine. If you don't have to pay, you are here in court for public representation. You know at the time of that act that you have committed something, and therefore you know what to do. You are told in terms of that act. This is your speed, you're driving the excessive speed. The sign says 60, you are driving at 100. And you hover on. Surely when you sit there, you say, yes, I was driving at this speed because I was rushing my wife to the hospital. You know that you have committed something that is wrong. And you know for that action that you will be asked to pay a fine, or you're going to present yourself to the prosecutor and ask for the action. Why would that be a presumption? Why would you find it in the way that something for the car, nobody knows about this thing. Suddenly you are found guilty or you don't even know what has happened. Because in the traffic of justice and what we do, you get all the solutions that we get, whether it's time, whether something is headed against the action that we have committed to conscious. So I don't see why you would make a very big issue about it. And you're not substantiate the case other than 65 of the constitution is money and they can get us out. I will say the finance administrators of the money making scheme and all of that. It's not just an allegation. It's not just an allegation. Every action that is a violation or that has somehow a penalty to it. Would you say that then all the penalties are money making scheme? Then what is the corrective measures? The corrective measures and penalty only? That's only a
in other countries where point-of-merit systems have been implemented, they do not automatically impose the merit points upon the person driving the license in the absence of the client. They do not. But I'm being accused of racism. And to be very honest with you, I take extreme offense that if I came across you as being racist, I don't know how you interpret that. I really don't. With respect to the allegations on maladministration, public protector's report says that report is called a matter of interpretation, and in that report, she found the JMBD to have been engaged in maladministration. With respect to corruption at the roadside, corruption of the watchers' reports are overflowing with corruption, particularly arising out of road traffic reports. It's an isolated situation. There are only two people involved in that transaction, and that is why we talk about corruption. I was asked the question about if we're going to do away with the warrant of execution. So, with all due respect, a warrant of execution does not mean the finding people up against the wall or the shooting. As was suggested, that I said under the statement, a warrant of execution is the warrant of execution on the front of that of the relevant appeal. When you talk about countries like Japan, I'm pretty sure it is not being suggested that South Africa and Japan can be compared on an economic platform. Or the economic equality kind of platform. Electronic communication in countries of technology, certainly by Japan, I should imagine that they can do something like this. However, I don't believe that we are at a stage where everybody has email, and the Constitution does not hold the client to everybody in this country. Most of people have cell phones. I'm sorry, I don't know where that statistic comes from, but I would actually doubt myself. With respect to the comparison of a murderer receiving a text message being reported to the police station, obviously that's a far thing to show up, yes, massive, I suppose, would be the word. However, we both apply this kind of very loose thing to even the national credit act with due respect. Even a credit defaulter under the national credit act must be served properly. But shall we suggesting a text message? And on the 03 imprisonment notice says 2,400 characters in it. How many answers to that is a text message on the basis of that? I don't know if I've answered all of the questions that I was asked, if there was anything that I left out, please. Maybe not. Just one last thing. On the level of engagement,
Thank you. happy and healthy, we can do all and end all and have it all. But just to see if going forward, what are the things that the lessons that have been learned that can be taken forward. Honorable members, thank you very much. I think what we do is not so bad, we did not so good in that sort of time. I'm going to request Salva, represented by Sibulele Jolo, to make a presentation. And once we've done this, probably the end of day one, keep forward to other things.
Part of the recipients and I think that when I'm not going to go into detail with it, but I'll just speak to it in detail.
of such reply, needed to bring reply, which seems to help with all the guidance, but in the more long term, dealing with the issue of the emergency system. I think the challenge we have, and I think because the pilot was in health care, and I think we all know what the challenge is associated with the e-commerce and the socio-economic, political aspects of the e-commerce and unintended consequences, you know, the good policy of government and support. But I think there were unintended consequences in regards to the issue of e-commerce, which actually has a serious impact on the poor people in Soweto and the whole income transport. And if you say Soweto, you were given by default, which is then getting to the highway and to the e-commerce. I think one of the challenges we have with the generic policies here and all the people associated with the nation, I think one of the colleagues was presenting mentioning, but maybe not in the way we want to mention. So the other socio-economic political consequences of the GMR point system, so far as the employment is concerned, if someone loses their license and the pure requirement for you to get a job, what happens in terms of you being put in front of the table. I think we understand the fact that people should not violate, and we understand the merits of ARCO, and we all don't want percentages on our own. And the fact one thing that we were proposing was that maybe rather than seeing as a public to be more creative or more passionate in approach, maybe we also need to put in a proviso for issues of representation associated with such clauses, where we are not simply going to stop and arrow to affect large groups of people, but we also need to address all the unintended consequences. And I think that's a big challenge that we have with regards to this. So I think we need to work through it. We don't have answers. I think we put it back to us here to see how best we can deal with some of those unintended consequences and maybe consider establishing an administrative rehabilitation programs associated with this. Then the second one and the last challenge that we have, big one to tackle in general context, is the issue of cost. We do advance, and we are one of the people that advocated for the electronic elements of certain notices, and we accept that. The big challenge we have with the footprint of the country and some of the requirements is that if you go on national rollout, it would mean that we roll it out to places like where I come from, where the issue of broad fiber and internet provision might not necessarily be under stress, which obviously people would think and say we want to say electronically, which is nothing wrong with that. But I think we say also through us here in Sample, the element of this that may be the legislation we probably look into it. It can be that the only way for one to be able to achieve may that one can account for the cost can only be through this something. Because getting the spouse is bankrupt and the spouse is saying this is essential for us like minister. So we say to us here in Sample, there must be a middle road between President Mayo and Donald Bay. Something that we can work with in front, but at the same time, something that we don't necessarily need to be spending so much time with the company processes. So in general, those are our high-level comments. And then, just the general comments, the one I spoke to was the issue of the withholding of money. I think we need to reconsider that clause, where it speaks to both parties concerned. If the spouse are issuing authorities and they default, can vote this law, but at the same time, if RFC or whatever reason doesn't also come with the fact that you must also have instructions from chief authorities, you must also provide a pre-registration to revoke the same law to order. I think the issue of the dealing challenges with the innovators, I think before we
going the national rollout clinic who ensure that our relationship is up and arm with regards to us to be able to do some of the challenges. The issue of integrity of the data is very important. I think coupled with that is the validation and the consideration of some of the data related elements. So this is just very illustration of what I've just presented, but also to understand which clauses of the actual amendment are affected by the same thing. So clause 5, 6, and 7, the one that's talking about the repeating of the human one is going to be good. So far, this is the current point that was presented by myself, and see how we can prevent the issues of establishing and installing reactivation programs and any other related situation that we could see are important for us not to be perceived to be counter-revolutionary or not developmental in that region. Then the last one, I think clause 9 speaks to the proposal that has been given for the electronic service, and I think we welcome it, but I think the provision, we say that the provision of the regional mean and the only option for postage, I think not an issue for postage, I think it's rather not something that is not well known, so we need to look into that. And I think we've seen from the pilots that is, the cracking is bouncing and we have a negative impact on local matters as well. So I think those are our submissions. We wanted to go straight to the point on the issues that we feel we have challenges with. But I think we have been having discussions with RPI, and I think we meet with each other, and the three courts completed a very next report on how the services are ready to improve around this. And I think almost all of us are about 50% to about 60% is over the rest of it. So thanks, Chair, and that's my submission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you for the presentation and submission of also the
just allow me to comment first. One of your worries about this was the opposite last as you said, the provision of registered meat as the only option for postage to bank account transfers. And then
normally you can't send you a lot of information.
Foundation, we're probably looking at programs, especially on the control of that, which could, I mean, we're trying to come with suggestions that we want to go about it. We started taking one issue of community service, issue of exemption. The fact that if you're wanting to use it, maybe we give them how to drive properly with importance, and we can see that it was open and intense. Issues of maybe a compulsory community service at a mortuary where people on the roads don't have to pay for such a thing, or maybe we ask people to the scene of the accident and try to have something to get you to understand that what you are doing is actually causing challenges, or maybe community services in regards to single-headed households that they were kids were led in their towns of the engine driver and such and all those things. Maybe go to an adaptation center now in the hospital where you were treating your accident and all those things. So I think if you really have, you can play around that particular thing. Yeah, on the readiness, we together out here and in Spanish, we are conducting state of readiness. The spouses for them to be able to deliver on the Sundays. And the last time I checked is in terms of the provincial reports, we're sitting at about under 50% readiness, which is ready with regards to issue of readiness. So the spouses have been constantly assessing to the areas to provide consent. But I think we did raise to answer some of the help that we need from them assessing that the land damage. If there are any financial related costs, the spouses really can get that. They could come in and assist to the setting up of those systems and also training of them. So we are waiting to see how this can address the issue of rollout and implementation. I think I've covered on the issue of the visitor mail and postage and presented the financial implications and that would be associated with that. I do understand that the program of damage to roll out final ticket in rural strategies. And I was involved in that project. I think there's a question for Parliament that needs to be approved to spend the role of that. I think over time, one is about to be connected with regards to internet and everything. So we do hope that over time everyone will be able to benefit from the science. I think the link of the question had about the link of the system. I think the system is coming. I think the colleague from the DMCS or Kadima was saying that all the browsers, license intention patient pharmacies, one would be able to get the images to support them on that. So the link is there, and I think the system had it in that. So more on the social, economic, political consequences. I think emphasis would be more, see, there's a phrase in literature when doing a SWOT analysis, you look at all the strengths and weaknesses of the particular project. And I think to look at social and economic alone is not taking the right approach to solving the problem. So we are therefore saying, look at all the implications, to look at all related implications, but not to say we're protecting any conspiracies or anything else. But I think we've learned our lessons in regards to the detour, we thought it was a good or
on and going forward, getting to the information is going forward, but we must have to because now we start to lighten our focus to our right side with this that we're doing. How far can we be able to push and take the process forward? We really appreciate and thank you very much. Honorable members, we have reached the end of the day for today. We shall continue tomorrow. On this matter, let me thank members from the Department of Transport, officials who have been here today, and indicate to yourself that you have to learn about your duty, that this is a very important aspect. Much appreciated for those of you who are physically here. Especially tomorrow because we expect the department to be able to start making the presentation. We will take knowledge from your from the presentation. We will take knowledge. Don't expect any other assistance, but that will be that is just a little bit much that unless we give our physical collapse. I think the number for the and it should be me if you want to be me. So the challenge is if it doesn't have very much damage, I think I know what it was very much damage, what we're needed. So let me also thank the registrar and the chief from Asia. I would like to thank Sada. Members, even tomorrow. We appreciate the robustness that we take in this. We hope that tomorrow we will see.